I prepared today for kind of a end of COVID message, if you like. I know we're not out of the woods yet, but I've entitled it Reconnecting. Perhaps you are experiencing the same feelings that I am today, that we're kind of on the cusp of restarting. Well, restarting everything. Kids are going back to school. There's people who've been away from the office for a while are going back. You can go to the movies again. Go Strango. Eating in restaurants, you can do that, maybe without the plexiglass or servers who look like they're wearing hazmat suits. And for today's consideration in preparation for next Sunday, there is the matter of rejoining each other at worship and restarting church activities. To prepare us for this very important topic, I've assembled just a few observations that I have gleaned through the time we've been in this pandemic. Now, I apologize up front that if this seems too soon to you, but I'll risk it anyway. First up, I read somewhere, why did the chicken cross the road? The answer, because the chicken behind it didn't know how to social distance properly. Two grandmothers were bragging about their precious darlings. One of them said to the other, mine are so good at social distancing, they won't even call me. One mother noted her frustration. She said, whose idea was it to sing happy birthday while washing your hands? Now, every time I go to the bathroom, my kids expect me to walk out of there with a cake. Another person said, after years of wanting to thoroughly clean my house but lacking the time, this pandemic has showed me that that's not the reason. Piece of advice. Every few days, try on your jeans just to make sure they fit. Pajamas will have you believe all is well in the kingdom. Another man said, yesterday I ran out of soap and body wash and all I could find was dish detergent. Then it dawned on me. And being quarantined with a talkative kid is like having an insane parrot glued to your shoulder. And my personal favorite, the World Health Organization announced during the pandemic that dogs cannot contract COVID-19. Dogs previously held in quarantine can now be released. To be clear, who let the dogs out? Another man said, this morning I saw a neighbor talking to her cat. It was obvious she thought her cat understood her. I came into my house and told my dog, and we laughed and laughed. And how did health experts lie? Well, they said a mask and gloves were enough to go to the grocery store. But when I got there, everybody else had clothes on. And finally, quarantine has really put a damper on comedy. For months now, nobody's walked into a bar. All of this silliness points to the fact that the pandemic has really changed things, hasn't it? Some of our behaviors will likely be with us for years to come. I've been wondering, of course, about what changes will happen in the church, and more specifically in our fellowship here at First Baptist. We've been worshiping online now for months. And I know it's the best we can do given the restrictions, but it's not been ideal for a lot of us, and me included. We miss seeing each other. We miss hearing our choir. We miss singing together and so much more. Now, as we eventually begin to move back into in-person worship, there will undoubtedly be a period of adjustment. That is why I really gravitated to an email that I received from the publication Christian Century, Now, I've subscribed to this weekly email blast for a while now because they give reflections and thoughts on the lectionary lesson for the upcoming week. Now, I don't use their material very often other than for my own edification and meditation, but the one that came back on July the 18th spoke very loudly to me. The lectionary lesson for that day is the one I read for you, and it is the reflection of Yvette Schock that was very helpful to me. Basically, Mrs. Schock suggests the passage as a template for our reconnecting with each other as a church fellowship following the pandemic. The passage before us occurs immediately after the disciples have returned from being sent out from Jesus. Now, before they're sent out, the disciples had little warning, and they were given very strict instructions on how they were to travel about in their missionary journey and how to find support. The only resource they carried was the authority that Jesus had given them and the partner they traveled with. The task was a very challenging one. Preach the gospel of repentance and cast out evil spirits. I imagine the disciples had no idea what to expect. They would have felt thoroughly unprepared and certainly unsure about how to proceed. Now, the results of the missionary efforts were absolutely astounding. Mark tells us in 6:13 that they cast out many demons. They anointed many sick people who were healed. In verse 30, we're told that they've returned to Jesus and they've reported to him all that had happened. Now, great surprise, at least to me, is there really is no recorded comment from Jesus about what they reported. Maybe he did congratulate them in some way, but Mark doesn't record it. Instead, Mark focuses on something else. I'm sure that the disciples, while they're away, missed the company of the rest of the 12, and certainly company with Jesus. Maybe as they journeyed around, they wondered how the others were getting along, or what happened to Jesus while they were away. And what transpires now is actually quite moving. Jesus says to them, come away to a deserted place all by yourself and rest a while. What moves me at least is the call by Jesus is really a call to come back into fellowship, to reestablish community. This time away from each other suggests that Jesus was very important, or thought very importantly about bringing them back together as a family, as a community. Because the bottom line was the disciples needed to debrief. They needed to share their experiences. They needed to share their ups and downs and also to voice their questions. If I were to suggest a very simple comparison, it is that we have missed of late our after-church fellowship time. Jesus wants to get away so that his disciples can have the floor, so to speak, to tell their stories the way they want to tell them. It's a critical part of being a community or a fellowship, and perhaps it's now more important than ever. As our church family community returns to gathering in person, I'm sure that many, if not all of us, will have stories about what has happened to us during this pandemic. Each of us may have had good things and bad things to share about what life was like in our isolation. Perhaps the most challenging thing for many of us is simply reestablishing friendships that have been kind of sitting stagnant for a while. Some among us have experienced significant losses during the pandemic. Some have reached significant milestones in life that we couldn't share with them. I know personally in our fellowship there have been medical crises and relationship struggles and a whole host of other ups and downs. I guess the first thing I see in Jesus in this passage is that we need to allow each other the opportunity to share our stories, to catch up with each other on our journey, so to speak. We need to be ready, willing, and able to listen, really listen to what is being shared with us. We need to be ready to pray with each other, comfort each other, celebrate with each other, and allow others into our collective story. And I guess that's what we forget most of all. As a community of faith, bound by our faith in Jesus Christ, the disciples' story was not an individual possession. Peter's story was also John's, and James, and the rest of the 12. Their story that they experienced was the community's story, and it was Jesus' story too. The ups and downs of their missionary endeavor were everyone's ups and downs. Therefore, my story during the pandemic is also your story, and vice versa. It matters deeply what you all went through, because in the end, what you went through has affected you and therefore affects all of us. The Apostle Paul reminded us in 1 Corinthians 12 that when one of us suffers, we all suffer. And when one of us rejoices, we all rejoice. I think that this level of being apart from each other is the greatest loss in this pandemic. As important as the lockdown was for our own personal safety, it still came at a terrible cost. Only now are mental health professionals talking about the toll that the pandemic has had on emotional health. Opioid use and overdose deaths are epidemic all across Canada and even within our community. Alcohol use, or more importantly, abuse, has become a national pastime. Just think how many Facebook posts you've seen in this last year that involve people talking about their need to have liquor to cope. Our collective wounds are very deep. Many have suffered in silence for far too long. Notice Jesus invited his disciples to come away and rest for a while. Well, many of you might say, well, Daryl, I've rested enough, thank you very much. I hear you. But maybe there's another current lesson in Jesus' invitation to come away and rest. Once the doors open to the church, I can almost guarantee there will be some excitement and some sense of relief. There might even be a great eagerness for programs and events to reestablish themselves. And our leadership as a congregation has been dreaming about these days for a long time, months. On the other hand, though, I suspect that returning to normal, whatever that looks like, might overwhelm some people. If the pandemic had an upside, it might be that some of us who needed to stop for a while from our busy lives may be a little bit reluctant to restart our busy schedules. Some of us may just need to rest from the pandemic for a while, to just soak up the healing and strengthening of God's presence in community. How we transition from pandemic to active church life needs to be well thought out by each one of us. I strongly suggest a measured approach. Like someone who's been hurt or had major surgery needing physiotherapy, we have to start slow. We may find it important to rethink everything we do as a community of faith. We may want to ask hard questions like, is this really important? Or something like, how can we keep our folk from getting so overwhelmed by events and programs that we think are important? It might be hard for some people to just pick up the reins again when they've enjoyed a more relaxed life. I mean, who hasn't loved watching church in our PJs drinking our morning coffee? But we are being called back to each other. We may want to make some changes to our involvement, but your brothers and sisters need you to be present for them. However, there's more to the story, isn't there? Jesus planned to get away and rest for a while. It never happens. Instead, the crowds pursue them, crowding in to be healed and to be taught. And how Jesus responds to this is very interesting. He just kind of rolls with this development, doesn't he? He doesn't push the crowd away to keep his plan for rest and renewal. Instead, Jesus wades right into the crowd, healing and teaching. I wonder when we reopen, who's going to show up looking for healing? Will we respond to the unexpected needs that our community brings to us that have developed over the last several months? Unless you think the need to reconnect as a church family is not important, I point you to a study done by the University of York in England that was reported in an online publication called Sci.org on May 18th of this year. Some of what is revealed in this report is really quite eye-opening. Diana Evans, who's head of Places of Worship Strategy for Historic England, was one of the directors of the project, and she says this: "This report gives voice to the pain people experience when places of worship were locked during the pandemic, leaving individuals and communities without access to spaces where they feel safe to mourn, feel respite in beauty, and seek peace. It also shows the potential of local places of worship for people of all faiths and none as the country moves towards recovery. Churches act as symbols of their community's long-term survival while serving as local hubs for social care, practical support, and companionship." Dr. Dyes, another participant in this study, said, "Given what churches normally offer and their response to the pandemic, they clearly have had an indispensable role to play in recovery. There is increased recognition from local and national governments of the great value of places of worship as community partners and their contribution." He's talking about the British government, but it's something our government should pay attention to. He goes on to say, "It stresses the importance of experts and individuals on the ground who agree that the country is facing an epidemic of unresolved and unsupported grief and loss, which will take years to heal. Both specialized support and return to normal social activity is vital for people if they're to move forward." Did you notice in what I read to you, and I looked through the whole report, there's not one word about restarting programs. The value of the church in that particular study was listed as local hubs for social care, practical support, and companionship. Now, some of us have missed programs and activities, but I bet that underneath even that is the express need we have for socializing with each other. For example, in our fellowship, those who miss the choir, well, they likely love to sing, but what's really missing is their time together to socialize. The same goes for pickleball and godly play and seniors' lunches and all that good stuff. All great programs that draw their value from connecting people one with another. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his classic book on Christian community entitled Life Together, argues that Christian community is unlike any other community because of its unique bond, a bond that exists between each of us through Christ. When Jesus is the center of our fellowship, the world is radically transformed. So may the church be a relationship among fellows, a fellowship bound not by ethnicity, social class, or status, but by the redeeming power of Christ at work through His Holy Spirit. We should pause right now, you and I, and acknowledge that things are going to be different going forward. There will still be some hesitancy to be near each other given the ongoing coronavirus variants. There will be some hesitancy to open ourselves up to the same level of connectivity we had with each other before the pandemic, wondering if we still want our lives to be laid bare to the same people. And as I already mentioned, there will be some hesitancy to jump back into activities, maybe even going to church itself, given the long hiatus we've had from these things. But we need each other. And that, my friends, is the heart of the matter. Remember then, as Red Green used to love to say, I'm rooting for you. We're all in this together.